Live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
See, here's the thing about my email box. I no longer trust any of the subject lines. And I'm not talking about the spam or anything. I'm just saying every time I get a picture now that's labeled Britney or labeled, you know, like hot ass, or, you know, dot JPEG or something, I open it, it's just tumors. That's all it is. That's all people send me anymore, is 500-pound tumors. Which is, you know, there's a place for tumors in this world as well. It's just been, it's a little truth, and it's like there's certain times during the day, and I don't mind looking at a tumor now and again. There's other times, not so much. It just label things honestly. You know, it's like after the video of the, well, you know that video we had posted on the website of the guy and the girl and the vibrator and the ow-ow, the ow-ow, it hurts me. After that, it's like we sort of tapped, we're at the ceiling. There's nothing really that's going to be worse than that. Not that I'm encouraging you to go look for those things. I'm just saying, there's really no need to take a gigantic picture of a cyst and disguise it as something else at this point. I mean, you all know that we have no standards of taste here anyway, so. Hey, it's,
put hair on it, or? I mean,
what?
Misleading subject.
No, it's just, yeah, it's just they're always disguised as something. It's 3 minutes and 21 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of February in the year of our Lord, 2004. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studio, live. We're live today. We're not taking it off because it's a made-up goddamn holiday that's not real. You know what this is a holiday for? It's a holiday for the man and minions of the man. That's who has today off. The man and those who dance for him. That's exactly who has today off.
This used to be two holidays. It was Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, and then they combined the two.
All right, so as we celebrate philanderers and thieves the world over on President's Day, we, you know, which is okay. I mean, they should just call it that, though. If they just called it, Screw the Populist Day or something, it'd be fine. We're here with Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon is here. Coming up later on today, it's Matt Groening's 50th birthday this week. Actually, I think it was yesterday. Matt Groening, 50 years old. So today we got the top five Simpsons episodes of all time. And because the only way that we're going to avoid, like, open gunplay during such a debate is to have Matt Groening himself, that we got these according to Matt Groening. Top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to Matt Groening. Coming up later on this hour, we got the CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, as well as going to be here from New York City. We got, and this really is indisputable, we have the best sports story in the history of the world. And I don't even, and you know, even for me to read it, you know it's got to be pretty good. So we got the best sports story in the history of the world. Also, we begin what I believe is our last week in this building. Now, granted, this is Entercom telling us this, so that really good should be a lie.
They dismantled the cubicle end a few minutes ago. There's nothing on that side.
It's not so much a lie, so much as it is just everything, you know, because we got purchased, what, like 40 years ago by then. But everything that we've meant to do has taken three times longer than originally planned. So we were actually supposed to be in the new building as of today. That clearly isn't going to be happening. Now it's supposed to be next Monday. We'll see if that takes place. But there's guys here with, like, hand cars. Like, if you want to steal something from this building, which I encourage you to do, your time is ticking away into the future. So if you want to come and get your thief on, you got to do that sometime this week.
Well, just grab up the trash can against the door and keep it open.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from your personal savior, Tim Riley, in the KOTK Newsroom. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, I got the traffic with Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a game like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's a radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it, the radio gangster.
Yeah.
He's not having it, the radio
gangster.
Yeah. not having it. Radio Extra. Yeah. He's not having it.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Top story. Murder in St. John's. Portland police have arrested a 66-year-old man on one count of murder. He's identified as Duran Main. He was involved in a fight yesterday with a 49-year-old white man. When people got to the scene, they found the white man dead, apparently of gunshot wounds. Police have not yet released the dead man's name until they speak to his family. Main and the victim were acquainted, although the nature of their relationship is not yet clear. Now, this happened at Ida and Willamette, just a couple blocks from the last shooting, which was at Ida and Lombard. It's the same street where Fred Meyer is. So they're fairly close by.
You ought to do, like, shooting maps. Like, instead of star maps, you just ought to have, like, shooting and crime maps that you can sell for St. John's. You ought to do guided tours or something through there. It's not like anybody's
going to... The Great Line Tours of St. John's murders?
Not like anybody's going to want to wander through that place by themselves.
Anyways, that's getting to be a dangerous place. Stop shooting each other over there. My property value. I was just reading a couple of real estate pieces that were for sale in that area, and they call it Upcoming Arts District. So please, if we want to attract these artists, you got to stop shooting people.
Art District is code for crack vials on the street. It's sort of like, it's sort of like newly renovated or upscale as code for all the white people are coming in, and it's being gentrified to the point of blandness. Fixer-up, of course, means that it's infested with rats, you know, and termites. So, yeah, Art District means that everything is sort of decayed, and there's this sort of element of, the syringe element is there.
I'm telling you, but if you're looking for a used dot matrix printer, St. John's is the place to go. The stores are full of them.
Or just sitting in a field somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway, another one. This didn't happen in St. John's, but close by. Actually, a little bit further. A Portland man was shot last night after opening his door to a stranger. The victim, in his early 30s, told he heard somebody knock at the door of his home at Northeast 93rd and Prescott around 9 o'clock. When he answered, well, after he asked who was there, said it's a stranger with a gun. And he opened the door, and the man shot him in the leg. The victim told police he doesn't know him. He was taken to Manuel, where he's expected to make a full recovery.
Where was this?
This is at 93rd and Prescott, far away from the Art District of St. John's.
All right. So there are certain places you just, you're just sort of best served by not opening the door ever. Like in my neighborhood, you know, you just don't open the, somebody knocks at the door, you just pretend you don't hear it. This is the thing, if you come to my place, it's never going to be opened. It's like if you call me, I'm never going to answer the phone. If I answer the phone, I just have to talk to you. If I open the door, I just have to see you. Although, you know, it's not so much, I mean, I don't really have the murders and the killings and the hey-hey. It's just, we've just got, I mean,
murders?
Well, no, I'm just saying, it's like these, I don't like to engage in the bashing of those who have children just for its own sake. But I got to tell you, man, I mean, it's like the neighborhood was bad enough, and now these people directly next door to us, I mean, there are like 15 people living in the apartment. I mean, it's, you know, and the apartment's made for like four, maybe. Maybe mom and dad and two kids. And that's a big maybe there, you know. But this family, and I'm assuming it's all one big family, but they moved in next door to us, and there's literally like 11 or 12 people there, and I get a feeling that there's so many people they got to take shifts, you know, for the beds. Like there's just not enough floor space for them all to sleep at the same time. And so half of them are asleep while the other half are awake, which would explain the fact that any time, day or night, there's just the sound of, infant shrieking like they're being grilled on a skillet, you know what I mean? Just nonstop, 24 hours a day.
Make any sense. Well, as long as they don't move to the upcoming Arts District of St. John's.
Stay away from there.
Some California crime, the best kind. A Ukiah woman has been sentenced to 6 years in jail on voluntary manslaughter charges of smashing into her wheelchair-bound mother with her minivan. 60-year-old Carlene Haygood, sentenced in Mendocino County. She pled guilty to a charge. The accident happened in May last year outside a medical facility in Ukiah. Haygood's minivan pinned her 89-year-old mother in a wheelchair against a tree. Haygood maintained the death was an accident, but family members and friends of her church rallied to her side.
Yeah, of course.
Prosecutors said the death was premeditated due to the fact that she was a large beneficiary in the mother's insurance. Meanwhile, a 90-year-old woman's in critical condition at a California hospital after being mauled by her great-great-grandson's pit bull. Both arms had to be amputated at the elbow. The dog had to be euthanized. But not the dog's fault. It's a
No, they're harmless. Yeah. Just like gerbils.
Absolutely. Just like a collie. Well, the doors at San Francisco City Hall opened earlier than expected this morning to accommodate a large number of people standing in the rain despite the miserable weather. Many gay and lesbian couples camped out outside during the night in the hopes of getting married today. This newly married couple waited all weekend at City Hall to tie the knot. They finally made it inside moments ago.
We started on Saturday morning, and we didn't make the cut that day. Came back on Sunday, was just a few people shy of that, and then regrouped back here, spent the night in the rain, and
here we are.
Only in America will people fight so hard to have the right to do something that so many of us have spent so long trying to avoid with everything in us. You know what I mean? So many of us have just been digging our heels. No! 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 You can't make me! Just completely digging in our heels and trying to avoid it with everything in us. But you know what? To each his own, I guess.
What happens if these marriages are declared illegal?
It is a valid marriage license issued by the city and county of San Francisco, and if this is the only place it's valid, that's still valid.
It's worth it, they say.
See this as the start of a long and interesting struggle.
I saw I was watching CNN this morning. There was some, and you could, by the way, here's a little tip from me to you. If you're ever, trying to, these groups that are like, these people that are rallying against the gay marriage, because they're doing it today because I guess as of tomorrow, there's some judge, some court somewhere that's going to, he's being implored to issue these injunctions, and it's always by a group with the word family in their name. Anytime there's the word family or coalition about
alliance.
Something. Yeah, alliance.
Alliance of iron.
Alliance, coalition, family, or values. You always know that it's just, man, it's like the robes and the sheets are just, they're tucked somewhere in a closet. You know what I mean? It's all it is. It's, anytime you see that, that's absolutely what that's code for. Just, it's sort of like, remember when David Duke at one point was the head of the Klan, and then David Duke tried to do a thing where he sort of metamorphosed into like upscale yuppie business guy, where he just had the tie and like the coiffed hair going on. That's what it is with the Coalition for Family Traditional Alliance Values, or people who want, marriage reserved it's for people like Britney Spears. That's who marriage is really for.
Meanwhile, a group of state legislators in New Hampshire are pushing a plan to let that state disregard gay unions legally performed elsewhere, even though they're next door to Massachusetts and Vermont, which is like a 15-minute drive, so it's foolish and ridiculous. Let's see what else we have here. We have the double Jackson watch.
Here's your double Jackson watch for Monday.
Controversial rapper Eminem is reportedly looking to put his stamp on what was previously known as the King of Pop. Rap News Direct reports he's had his sights on the 2,600-acre Neverland Ranch that belonged to Michael Jackson. Eminem is reportedly telling friends he's not up to dealing with another Michigan winter. Tough guy he is. Following his ex-wife's jail sentence for cocaine charges, he also thinks California could be a better place for his daughter.
That's what you think of when you think of Neverland Ranch.
Yep.
You think of a good place for your 8-year-old.
Yeah. And 26 acres to wander around. Jackson said he'll never live on the property again following a police raid last fall connected with child molestation charges. Jackson has also reported to be in financial ruin, a charge his manager denies. Part 2. Janet Jackson has emerged for the first time since her controversial Super Bowl halftime performance for an event for another professional sports organization. On Friday, the singer was at the Beverly Hills Hotel as a tribute for Behind the Bench, an association comprised of NBA players' wives. Appearing at the annual Touching a Life banquet, Jackson was honored for her various charitable contributions. They say in a statement here, Jackson's humanitarian and philanthropic...
I don't understand anything about this story.
Oh.
So Janet Jackson is doing what, where, for who?
She went to a dinner, citing her for her contributions to charities.
Okay.
It's put on by the NBA players' wives.
So this is... Okay. All right. So it's NBA... So it's a bunch of trophy wives of overpaid NBA players who get together and talk about helping the less fortunate.
Right.
All right. And Janet Jackson's there, too.
And she was one of them.
It's like a whole... It's just... You know what it is? It's just like a whole confluence of things I couldn't possibly care less about. All right. There's your double Jackson watch. We'll do this. We'll come back. CNN Radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten and lots more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Sarah Dillon's got your fabricated, made-up, and completely useless traffic.
No, it's true today, yes, because it's about a holiday schedule. All right, try that.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten coming up here in just a few moments. Later on today, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk, and today's top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to Matt Groening. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Well, the Reverend Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, is urging the national religious broadcasters to help re-elect President Bush. He says if Bush is defeated, there won't be anyone left to stop the media from broadcasting pornography. He said the kind of entertainment shown during the Super Bowl halftime show will just be the tip of the iceberg.
It must be great to be that right wing, because then everything you see is pornography, then you don't actually have to go buy real pornography. You know what I mean? It's like being in one of the Muslim countries. Like, you see an ankle, and like, there you go. Your masturbation material is set for the rest of the year. So... Now, every time they talk about pornography, I always wonder if there's, like, some secret channel I'm not getting or something. It's like Channel 53 in New York. Just, like, so there's some closed-circuit feed they're all privy to that I'm not really able to watch.
Combining the forces of 80s pop culture at offbeat internet auctions, a Manhattan man is using eBay to sell 212-867-5309.
Yeah.
The numbers without the area code that appear in the 1981 song 867-5309 Jenny... I one-hit wonder Tommy Two-Tone. The question is whether he has the right to sell the number at all. That hasn't stopped bidders so far, thanks to some website postings and a mention on Good Morning America. The auction is up to $4,050. So there's a question of whether or not the number can be transferred to the winner once the auction ends February 22nd. Verizon says there's no question it can't. Individuals do not have ownership of the numbers given to them, so the right to the number can't be sold.
Am I the only one that just, every time you see Verizon quote anymore, just sort of anywhere in any paper, just sort of fills you with anger? You know what I mean? It's just sort of the name. I mean, this is how bad the phone call, but that's, I was just going to make that observation. We had to... I don't even like to talk about it. So we had the...
Comcast.
No, I don't want to get into the whole thing. But we had to give money to Quest... Or as my mother-in-law insists on calling it, Q West. We had to give them money this weekend because that's a whole long, huge thing. But it's just they've done such an effective job of customer service that just the word Quest makes me angry. You know what I mean? It's sort of just seeing, like, I'll just read a newspaper, blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-da, Quest. And it's just sort of going, oh, damn lousy, and urge to kill, rising. So it's just sort of this weird Pavlovian response I've got now. I had some point I was going to make about something. 867-5309. That's a thing that sort of seems like a really good idea. Like, you sort of want it or you want to give it to somebody. But I'm betting the joy of having that as a phone number fades every Friday and Saturday night as the liquor consumption spikes around the country and a bunch of guys gather around a payphone, you know, to see if somebody really answers. Because as soon as you drink, it's like instant fifth grader. And that's exactly what we did at the skating rink or whatever, you know, just the whole time crank calling. You know what I mean? And it's always that number that gets called.
A 9-year-old boy's kick to a waiter's crotch has cost his parents $15,000. The waiter, who was then 26, filed a lawsuit against the boy and his parents, claiming the kick caused him great pain. I guess that would be true. And the sex will never be the same. The waiter asked not to be named to spare him further embarrassment. It was at the boy's upscale Buckhead home. Wherever, I guess this is in Alabama? One of those southern states. Anyway. Setting up a wedding reception, he claims the homeowners left their two boys unattended to dash off to the wedding. The boy and his younger brother were running around wildly, and the oldest boy threatened the waiter and other catering staff, a popular Midtown eatery, with a knife. The waiter claimed he stepped in and asked the boy to put the knife down and go inside in the back.
How old are these children?
It doesn't say. Does not say.
But, I mean, they're with their parents. They can't be that old.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right.
Well, the boy headed that way, but turned and delivered a good swift kick to the waiter's left testicle.
Look, I don't care if he's 11 years old or not. Anytime the boy's got a knife, you're allowed to punch him back. That's just sort of the rule. The kids, any child with a knife is fair game. You give up your protection of being like 9 when you're packing a shiv around in your back pocket.
So now he has erectile dysfunction. Bills, $4,400.
Yeah, all right.
The boy's parents claim either they or their sitter
were watching their children all the time, and the boys were playing in the normal manner of young boys.
Going around kicking strangers in the scrotum.
They were wearing, like, a moose costume.
Yeah.
I wonder how long before they get a wolf costume now at the end of the hallway.
Yeah, well, we've got this. We've got our sister station, KWJJ, which they changed their name to The Wolf, which is, you know, fine and all. I don't care. But it's just the clock is ticking on, you know, getting Corinne or one of our, you know, promotions people and packing her inside a wolf costume and sending her out to talk to a bunch of sticky-faced little children at a state fair somewhere next to the elephant dough booth or whatever the hell that is.
What would happen if it was Jolie?
She'd be set on fire and shoved into a pit of sewage somewhere. I wonder if the wolf will have sunglasses and a guitar, too. Sort of to be edgy.
Stop now.
No, I'm just cowboy gonna hat and cowboy boots.
He's a wolf.
To the extreme.
Will it salivate like a wolf? It should eat little children like a wolf. It should just
a big bad wolf. Oh, we better stop this.
What was I talking about? Scrotum kicking. Well, you know, the thing about scrotum kicking is this, is that I know that it's a big yuck for the whole, well, here we are laughing. It's like, and you watch America's Funniest Home Videos, you know, or whatever, and it's like, it's just a, you know, one out of every three videos, a guy getting kicked in the jewels with something. You know what I mean? There's some guy getting it right in the, getting it right in the grapes with, you know, like a baseball bat or whatever. But that's a pain women will never know. I mean, women, it's sort of become, you know, it's a big cultural punchline. Some guy gets it in the sack with a golf club. But that women will never understand exactly what, just like the absolute, like, I don't know what it's like that, you know, to be doused in kerosene and then to be set on fire. But I mean, having taken the big kick to the scrotum a time or two, you just gotta, you know, if that ever happens to me where someone just lights me ablaze, I think it'll probably feel strangely familiar, because that's a distinct pain, quite unlike anything else.
A spokesman for Sports Illustrated said the magazine is okay with the decision of a supermarket chain in L.A. to move their swimsuit issue to different store racks. Officials of the Ralphs announcing that they would place the racy issue on higher store racks to keep it out of the hands and sight of children. The decision was made at the urging of conservative youth organization No Compromise. I guess that would be conservative, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No Compromise. Shelley Spain of Sports Illustrated said the magazine's publisher believes their issue featuring models wearing revealing bathing suits is tasteful.
Of course. All right. The less said about it, the better. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
New York City, oh yeah! New York City!
I mean, as Bill Maher noted, there is a certain irony in the fact that we got all in a tizzy about Janet's boob, and then it was like 4 days later that the freaking swimsuit issue came out. But, I mean, I'm not gonna dwell. I'm going to move on.
Move on because I can segue.
Can you? Now, this is CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner in New York. So you're aimed. You're armed with the...
Because what could be more tasteful than that compared to a map of New York City draped in a condom?
Okay.
I mean, we're not talking about that today.
Are we
talking about something else?
I don't have the prep sheet in front of me. Well, I wanted to talk about this because it happened in Seattle just a while back.
The
latte tax.
We could talk about that.
Which they tried to shove onto the people just north of us here. What was it, about a year and a half ago? Mm. They tried to do that. They wanted to put up a tent, and it was for children, wasn't it? Wasn't it in Seattle, wasn't it for little... I mean, I don't mean to say that word with such contempt and hatred, but wasn't it for children?
Probably, but screw the kids. Leave the kids alone.
That's what I'm saying. See, the advantage of, again, as I always say, the advantage of not reproducing it, you don't have to care about the children. The advantage of not having any, I don't have to care about other people's children. Mm-hmm. I think from now on the ballot, things that are for children ought to have to be put in little pink and blue, you know, the font ought to be little pink and blue so you can tell, so you can just automatically vote no without having to read it.
So you don't vote for school millage?
What? Nah, I don't care, man.
Well, these kids grow up to be, you know, adults.
Yeah, I know. You know, but here's the thing. I went to I'm just saying for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that the government should come back to me and be taking it out of my ass every 18 months because they can't run their budget correctly. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, it's not that I'm without sympathy for the fact that schools are a hole. Schools were a hole when I was going there. It's probably even worse now. But it's like, you know what it is? It's like having a kid, you know, that goes and breaks a bunch of windows, and then if you just pay for the broken windows, then the kid's just going to keep breaking them. And that's kind of what the government is. The government just goes off, and it's like a kid just getting a hold of car keys and whiskey for the first time. Just goes off and causes $1,000 worth of damage. And then if I pay for it, then it's just going to continue to happen. So I just feel like I got to draw the line at some point, and it's going to come back and keep beating my ass, you know, to repair public schools, which are not really my responsibility anyway. The responsibility of the government. That's I don't mean to rant about it. I'm just. It's not that I'm not for schools. It's that I'm against just sort of subsidizing the government's poor money management skills.
Okay.
Well, and I'm just saying. So I think that's what the latte thing was for. And you know what? There's other stuff they could be taxing besides lattes.
Well, it's kind of ridiculous, don't you think? So they want to charge 10 cents a cup. Well, a suggestion that if they charge 10 cents a cup here in New York City, they'll raise $12 million. But the thing is, the latte drinkers are saying, remember the Alamo. Oh, the Boston Tea Party. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Taxation without representation. I don't know. They're not happy about it because it already cost them $3 and change for, you know, for a cup of coffee at Starbucks anyway.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I will say that if you really are dense enough to be paying $3.50 for a glorified cup of coffee, you know, with sugar in it, that's... I mean, you're really not at the top of the gene pool anyway. But everything just ought to be paid for. The government will never learn this lesson, that everything could be paid for by taxing smokers. No one ever listens to me when I talk about this. But I think we've all demonstrated at this point that if you could... I mean, you could charge $10 a pack for cigarettes, and freaking smokers would continue to buy them.
Well, they did that here. They increased the taxes on cigarettes.
Yeah.
And then they said you couldn't smoke them, right? You
know, like,
smoke them in the bars.
And the smokers,
whether there was a net gain or loss in revenue as a result of that.
Well, the smokers just continue to take it, though. That's the thing about sweet. Okay, now you can only smoke these on Tuesdays and only while hopping on your right foot and barking like a dog. Okay, whatever. You know, and they'll just continue to do it. There's also some talk about, now tell me if I'm wrong, am I reading this wrong, that there's some talk about taxing Botox? Is that correct?
Well, they want to, yes, they want to, the other suggestion is to tax cosmetic surgery, yes.
I'm all for that.
And that would gain, by 2008, $83 million, they say.
Can we just cut to the chase here? What I really want is to be a grand, irremovable dictator so I can just tax behavior that annoys me. That's really what it comes down to.
And which behavior would you tax?
Oh, God, I don't know. The list...
Put you on the spot, Rick.
No, I mean, well, it's the tyranny of choice. The list is so long. Taxing the behavior that annoys me.
Loud music.
I would tax anybody.
Boomboxes on cars.
I'd tax
like
any one of those guys that wants to have the booming system so you can hear his ludicrous CD like three counties away. That
right.
guy's going to get taxed.
Right. I hate it when I'm in my car and then the person next to me's radio is louder than the radio in my car.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to listen to a program such as this one.
If you want to take your cell phone into a movie theater, you should have to pay a tax.
Oh, yeah. That's disgusting when a cell phone rings during the...
The list of personal behaviors that I would tax were it up to me. I mean, we could fill like 9 hours.
Worse yet, try going to a Broadway play. At least at the movies, it's not, you know, the actors aren't like stopping, you know, because they're distracted by the phone ringing. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
This will all be solved when I liquidate all the dissonance someday in the future, Gary. You'll be spared, though. Hey, tell me about the condom on the map thing, though.
Really, they wanted to put on the subway system a map of Manhattan, which if you stop and think of how Manhattan is shaped could be part of a male anatomy.
Looks like a schlong.
Yeah. And then the map of Manhattan is covered with a condom because this, as I'm sure you know, is National Condom Week in the United States. But the MTA said, no, that might offend people. And so they canceled the ad campaign. Now, ironically, what has happened as a result of that, there's been so much publicity about it, probably more people have seen the poster on the news and would have seen it riding the subways, and it didn't cost them to do it. So maybe there was a net gain over all this.
Most importantly, February is also National Nacho Month.
Oh, that is even more important.
In case you were looking for an excuse to eat them. There you go. There's CNN correspondent Gary Baumgartner in New York. It's Tim Riley.
Hey, what are the hippies up to today? Well, they're demonstrating outside a store that sells one of the world's best-known candies. They want M&M Mars to change its cocoa purchase policies. Valerie Orth of the group Global Exchange explains why she and the others are holding signs outside M&M World in Vegas.
We're asking Mars, instead of profiting off of abusive child labor, to carry fair trade certified cocoa, which guarantees a minimum price per pound. It prohibits abusive child labor, and it allows small-scale farmers to be organized into democratic cooperatives.
They're making kids pick M&Ms.
Feminine Mars' annual revenue is almost $16 billion, and the donors are worth $10.4 billion each. So we're sure that they can afford the extra pennies that it would cost to buy fair trade certified cocoa.
No one cares. We'll be back after this. We got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. Later on, How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. And today's top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to one Mr. Matthew Groening. Stay there. We'll be back.
Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah Dillon's got this, the traffic.
The real traffic, something that's made up.
It is made up, or at least wildly inaccurate.
Okay, I know it is. Okay. Police action.
You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. I want to thank our good friend Diana from down there. Is that cherry cheesecake? Is that what that is?
Exactly what that is.
Excellent. Brought us a cherry cheesecake. Much obliged. We get, you know, speaking of stuff that people have brought us, stuff that's here, we got like 14. I was actually counting this morning the various cases and bottles of alcohol and beer that we've got here. I mean, and we've got something like 3.5 cases of beer. We've got 2 bottles of wine, and then we got some giant bottle of some weird coconut liqueur thing that somehow ended up under my desk. So I don't know. We got to figure out some way to get rid of that stuff this week because it's like I'm not going to carry it all over to the other building. So this is presumably our last week in this building. So we'll be figuring out, I guess, later this week how to get rid of that stuff. We were just on the other side of the building just now, man. And it's empty. There's been guys because this building, as we always say, is divided into 2 halves. There's the sales half on the other side, and then there's this side, which is just us and the wolf. And so, but the other side has been empty for a long time, but it's just been rows and rows and rows of empty cubicles. The guys are in there now disassembling them and taking them away. So the other side is even more bombed out and weird-looking than even before. So
it's scary.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the woman has been the subject of rumors linking her to Senator John Kerry deny that she had an affair with a Democratic presidential candidate. Breaking her silence in Nairobi, Kenya. How do you do that from there? This is 4 days after the allegation saying, quote, I have never had a relationship with Senator Kerry, and the rumors in the press are completely false. That,
the funny thing is, she denied it, I guess, today, but there's some British, it's not a tabloid, but it's like a British news organ, a British TV organization, claims that they have a taped interview with her in which she cops to it, and that they're just waiting for supplemental evidence before playing it.
So her name is Alexandra Polier. She says she never interned or worked for John Kerry. We love and support her 100%. And those unfounded rumors are hurtful to the entire family. We appreciate the way Senator Kerry's handled the situation. We intend on voting for him for president of the United States. That's from her parents. And they're from Pennsylvania. So what's she doing in Nairobi?
No one knows.
Maybe she's in the Peace Corps. It says she arrived in Kenya last October.
I think she's there with her fiancé, who's some weird, tight-ass looking guy. Another campaign for like the 3 people left that care about it. Howard Dean's campaign chairman has quit. Because Dean just won't leave. Because Dean he's got Lieberman disease now, where he won't get out, which is fine. I mean, you know, stay in and fight the good fight and all. But I mean, the guy, he's just getting worked. He's just getting pounded out there. And, you know, all the way to Wisconsin and Super Tuesday coming up, will continue to be worked. It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it's like Kucinich. Yeah. Still out there. Conan O'Brien being criticized by the Canadian government after they paid big bucks to lure him to do a show in Toronto and to help triumph the comic insult dog, make what they call racist remarks against French Canadians.
You're French and Canadian, yes. You're obnoxious and dull.
Here's another tasteless, alleged racist anti-French Canadian remark.
Listen closely. Hear that? It's the sound of nobody giving a
Conan's been doing his whole show from Canada all week, and apparently there's, I haven't watched it, but there's some recurring bit where Triumph is just out on the street heckling the French Canadians as they walk by, which is something we can all agree is good.
Well, Canadian Port South Park has long poked fun at its own countrymen.
Guys, some people claim that your Canadian humor is nothing but immature fart jokes.
That's not true. Take this classic Canadian joke, for instance. Excuse me, sir. Yes, Philip?
There have even been clashes between American and Canadian diplomats.
Guys, some people claim that your Canadian humor is nothing but immature fart jokes.
That's not true. Take this classic Canadian joke.
Really wrong.
There what say you, Mr. American Ambassador? Canada.
Do, buddy.
Well done. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Ron, you're a full-time listener here on Hot Talk Canada KFTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick, on Thursday, are you going to need extra samplers for the concoction you're going to brew for the show?
Oh, that's right. On Thursday, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here. And it occurred to us last week that we were talking about how people create drinks, about how the process of actually making a brand new drink. And so I think we're going to be trying to create sort of a Rick Emerson show drink.
Well, that's unemployed out here would like the opportunity to come in and be samplers.
What's going on in the background there? Is there
I'm playing Neverwinter Nights. You know, I'm unemployed.
All right, excellent. I'm not
Never
sure.
Winter Nights is a great game.
It's a lovely game.
Is that one of them there Nazi killing games that the kids love?
Oh no, this is.
It's Lord Dungeons of the and Ring Dragons. Hat. You can cop to it.
Yes, it's a role playing game.
It's a Nazi killing game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure. On Thursday, there's going to be all of us, and then Jen, of course, is going to be here. Yeah. And then I know that everybody who works in the building has that to mean. I don't know. We got a whole week during which we got to get rid of like 5 cases of beer, so I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do that. So there you go. That's Ron. I mean, we were just looking at my desk alone. We've just got a whole pile of stuff that I don't want to carry over to the other building, but I don't really want to throw it away.
And all that stuff in the fridge and in my locker.
So I'm not really sure what we're going to do, but we'll stay tuned for details this week. Here's Tim Riley.
We should leave this jar here. Am I going to have enough room over there for this jar?
We're not going to have enough room. We were just talking about because I guess the cubicles that they're dissembling on the other side of the building. Apparently, according to Tim, you said they're taking them over to the other building.
Yeah.
Because there's just not enough cubicles in the new... it's just like endless cubicles. It's like you're in that Shining hedge maze or something. They just go on and on and on forever. How much room could there possibly be? Unless they're going to be even smaller, you know? Unless they're just sort of, like, figuring out exactly just how much space you need to breathe and making them that big. So, yeah.
Then we have 9-year-old Morgan Kepford, who has an unusual skill... That may earn her airtime on national television tonight. She has already flown to New York to tape the spot for Late Night with David Letterman. In the past 2 weeks, Morgan has been practicing a balloon up her nose while inflating it while holding it in place with her toes.
Is she from here?
She's from Kaiser.
Yeah. Right.
She's hoping she'll get on Stupid Human Tricks tonight. The show paid for the entire 4 members of the Kepford family to fly to New York City for the taping. 5 people have been... film for the show, the producers are picking 3 to air tonight, so we'll find out later.
I used to know a guy that could blow cigarette smoke out of his eyes. He would inhale cigarette smoke, and then just, and it would like come out of his eye sockets. That was great, man.
Wow, that sounds healthy.
Well, yeah, that's not the sort of thing at all that's going to give you eye cancer. It never occurred to me until just now.
Creepy yellow eyes.
Yeah. Well, and I was only like, I think... God, I can't remember. I think it might have been one of my sister's boyfriends, but I'm not really sure. I guess in retrospect, that seems very likely, actually, given the big endless series of losers that my sister has dated. Probably some guy played a guitar, you know. Some guy played a guitar, ate a lot of Sprouts, you know, that's kind of her type. But yeah, I was about, I don't know, I must have been about like 8 or 9. And he was hanging around the house for some reason. I guess that does indicate that he was probably with her. And he's just like, hey, little dude, you want to see something cool? And then it's like, and it, you know, it was like the little tear duct areas right by his eye. So he'd just inhale a bunch of cigarette smoke and then just go, and it was like, which is great when you're a kid, man, because it's like, you know, it's like he's a warlock or something. It's pretty impressive. Yeah, I guess really thinking back on it now, that's maybe not the healthiest choice for ocular well-being. But, you know, what
gets you a cool nickname like Blind Willie or something.
Yeah, hey, you there, yellow head. All right, do we have time for this? How much do we have, like 20 seconds here?
About 20.
No, then we can't do it. Well, forget it.
All right, we have no time for that. I do have time to tell you this really quickly. Geeks in the house want to pay attention to this. You may have already heard this. The WB, after all the time I spent last week pimping out Angel, of course it's been canceled. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is from E. The WB has decided to end the series Angel after this season. Jordan Levin told TV Guide Online that they're going to give time to wrap up, given to give Joss Whedon time to wrap up Angel in a way befitting a classic television series, which they're canceling after just a few seasons. Sarah Michelle Gellar had earlier said that she wasn't going to go back and make a guest appearance, but she may do that now that the series is getting the axe. So there you go. So Angel going away. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We'll be back. More on the way. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
A minute after 1 o'clock, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Kingston Bar and Grill. A sentencing date has been set for a Klamath Falls man accused of phoning in a bomb threat at the Medford Airport last summer. 29-year-old Richard Harrison Jr. was late for his flight to Phoenix, so he called the American West ticket counter at the airport and urged them to search the plane for a bomb. Of course, they searched it, and they didn't find one. He was hoping to buy himself enough time to get into his flight. He was arrested after approaching the ticket counter and questioning agents about the flight. He could get 10 years in prison or a $250,000 fine. A teenager in Kaiser became the victim of a random roadside shooting over the weekend. A man was driving an older model American car. He waved the 18-year-old woman over around midnight Saturday. The man gets out of the car and shoots her twice. Luckily, those injuries are not life-threatening. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Rain at times, highs in the 50s. Same for tonight. Showers all the way through Thursday. That's when we should see some sunshine. Tim Riley, KOTK News.